this being, to some extent, with the the governors lined up in the front row, something of a school speech day as well as a party. We aren't quite at lunch yet because it is, of course, time for the prize giving, as you will see in the programme. When John Russell Brown arrived this morning, and I met him in the conservatory. He said to me, "Gosh, you've only been in the job since September, and you've made a difference already." At which, of course, I had to point out that actually, the newly improved building, the state of our MA provision, practically everything we're celebrating today, and the way of the beautiful way in which this institution is currently flourishing, is in fact the work of my predecessor, the director who came after Russell Jackson, namely Kate McCluskey. And since the apostolic succession is sort of being celebrated this morning, or to put it another way, the tiny conspiracy by which the Shakespeare industry operates, I should confess in my turn, or boast, whichever way you see it, that I was myself supervised by Stanley Wells, that my doctorate was examined by Peter Holland, and that when I was years later accidentally promoted to full professor, the person who, at my invitation, very kindly came and presided over my inaugural lecture and responded to it, was Kate McCluskey. It's difficult, I think, it ought to be difficult in Shakespeare studies for somebody holding their current job to talk about the person who's just left it, because Shakespeare only writes about succession crises. The line that would automatically spring to mind to anybody who's worked in university administration, one of the most resonant lines in Shakespeare is that line of Bolingbroke's in the deposition scene, "I thought you had been willing to resign." Kate's retirement party, and that's only a technical term, because Kate is, of course, very much with us and still doing lots of things for the university, was absolutely not such an occasion, and neither is this. But we couldn't have this do today without all the works Kate's done, and we certainly aren't going to have it without publicly marking that work. The Mason-Croft Prize, it's a little-known prize. It's being awarded today for the first and only time. It is a prize that is awarded to Kate McCluskey for being Kate McCluskey. And it consists of two parts. There is a historic press cutting depicting Mason-Croft from a publication in 1907 called The Bystander, which is so perfectly not a description of Kate McCluskey that she really has to have it. And, of course, the other element of the prize comes from a cynical piece of deliberate over-catering, and we'll all be having some more of it later. But it's in this bag. So I'm absolutely delighted to take this opportunity to invite Kate McCluskey to the platform to receive the Mason-Croft Prize.
I have to say that I really am at a loss for words, because I had no idea, just as I had no idea that when I said I wanted the Rolling Stones for my farewell party, the Rolling Stones would duly arrive in the form of Jack, my wonderful colleague, who is a mean bass guitarist, and Michael, who's been running a band since the year dot, and that what I thought was the end of the retirement party and was just kind of gathering up my nice presents and thinking about going home and wondering if I was sober enough to drive was actually exploded with sounds of Jumping Jack Flash. I am really very, very touched and very pleased, because I have to say, and I will say this, that I sat there looking at the wonderful sense of the achievement of the Shakespeare Institute and that sense of apostolic succession, and also thinking, yeah, I was supervised by Nigel Alexander also from the Shakespeare Institute, and that's another story altogether. I was examined by Ernst Honigman, who was extraordinarily gracious, though said Nigel Alexander had taken so long over lunch that I had to wait for 2.5 hours for my viva to take place. So there are other stories which are, I think, all part of the richness of the Shakespeare Institute, and also all part of the sense that we must resist apostolic successions, and that those apostolic successions have got to be disrupted from time to time. And here I am doing it again, being the thought police and reminding people of the ones who are left out. And looking at those, the two women in that photograph, I want to go back and check the names of the people in the photograph, but those two women have not been mentioned. They are Muriel Bradbrook. I have it on the wonderful authority of Stanley Wells. I think the other one is Marie-Thérèse Jones Davis. And thinking there's another story to be told, and maybe one of the things I'll do when I'm retired is tell it, but I won't. What I am most excited about, yes, the building was great, and I owe that to Susan Hunston, who is here. Susan, thank you. I owe that to a kind of collaboration with Susan, where between us we thought, you know something, this has got to be done. And Susan did the work of getting the money, being the front person, being there in the meetings and acting on behalf of the university, and that couldn't have been done without her. The other thing that I'm enormously pleased about is in the afternoon, you're going to see those great women and great men who I was able to appoint, because the apostolic succession is all about the people who you're lucky enough to get to do the job for you. And some of them become part of the succession. But speaking for myself, I am more than happy to resign because I know it's in such fantastic hands of a great team. Thank you all.